So, you can hear a little bit of it. Or if you do you have a player here? Do you have a tape recorder?
You have a don't you play?
Yeah.
Well, we could stick it on.
Oh, it's upstairs.
We could stick it on there.
You could stick it up.
Give you an idea about what. It's
yeah, happening. We got to record ourselves.
Now, you were talking about Garnavala?
Yeah, and the Garnavala, when they were casting for that, Mr. Keeley, he directed the picture. Boleslavsky, he had directed the picture.
And Boleslavsky?
Boleslavsky. And Mr. Keeley, he sent me, he directed Green Passes, and he sent me over to see this Boleslavsky, and he took me to be in Garnavala, and he wanted everybody in that picture to be my color, the white girls that he hired. Because we were girls, we were running around, we was all speaking Arab and like that, you know, we wasn't speaking English. Mm. See what I mean? So he wanted them all to be my color at that time. But Boleslavsky, he didn't know that I was color. Mr. Keeley sent me and he said, that's what I want, so he took me.
So there was no question, no.
I had the job. See, and he had about five or six other girls. We was all waiting on Marlene Dietrichson, you know, fixing our shoes and fixing our hair and running around in the water talking, like we were Arabs or something, you know.
Now this is Hollywood movies. What kind?
This is in Arizona.
Screen Actors Guild then?
Yeah. Oh, I had to.
And what kind of money were you making in that?
Screen Actors Guild. Oh, that was good, pretty good. I don't know, $100-$200 a day like that.
Yeah.
Like things like that.
So you had no problem in your own mind about doing these kind of things?
No.
Is because why? Because it was money?
Yeah, money, and because of who sent me there and the things like that, you know.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't have never got in there, but I... And then I belonged to Screen Actors Guild because you had to belong to it. For Green Passes, I had to belong to.
Sure.
I belonged to Actors Equity, which Colleen Dewhurst is the president now of Actors Equity. I had to belong to that. And AGBA. Those are my parent organizations, you know.
Now, during those days when these movies were being shown, I'm talking again about the black cast movies and the show movies mostly, were you recognized by people on the street because of these movies?
Mm-hmm.
Gave out
right
that?
Now, even.
Oh, yeah?
In Harlem.
Oh, yeah?
Right now, yeah. Don't you blood.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, as Edna Mae Harris, my name is Flood, my marriage name.
Yeah.
It's my last name. Yeah, they recognize me, sure, they know now.
And how about during those times?
During those times? No, they didn't know. No, I don't think they recognized you too much then.
I'm trying to get some sense of how well known these movies were during that period.
Uh-huh.
You know, I got the feeling that...
But I don't think the people saw too many of them.
That they weren't as well known.
No, because they had a hard time distributing the pictures. You know, they didn't see too many. They see it more now than they've ever seen.
Yeah, really,
you know,
the
since they but at the what the Adam Clayton Powell place down there, they said, Ed, I didn't know you was in all them pictures.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah, but they couldn't get them distributed. You know.
Yeah, well, during the time that these pictures were made down south, these pictures was distributed much more than they were in the northern states.
Mm-hmm.
Southern people saw these pictures more so than the people in the north.
Because they had color theaters to show them in.
Color theaters, well, down there you couldn't go to the white theaters.
No.
So they had to show these pictures.
Color pictures in the color theater.
And the southern people saw them and liked them better than they did. They distributed more.
Yeah, you couldn't get them in Lowe's Victoria.
Oh,
you couldn't get them shown in the parlor. At that time, the parlor was a burlesque, early concealment. You couldn't get them showed in there. They had a franchise on all the white pictures.
They had, especially in New York. I don't know about Jersey and other places.
Mm-hmm.
You had the Lowe's Seventh Avenue.
Lowe's Victoria.
Victoria.
Parlor.
In the parlor, they didn't show no pictures in the parlor.
No, they had burlesque. They wouldn't even consider those pictures.
They wouldn't take them.
No.
How about like the Lafayette? Wasn't
Lafayette
Fred Schiffman?
Yeah.
If they come, but see, they had a pact. If you, got a theater. If you don't do what we say do, we'll put the whammy on you, and
you can't even show nowhere.
So if you it's gonna take these pictures. If they said no, they would let you have the other pictures.
Mm-hmm.
They always had a trick to it.
Yeah, they had
to it.
So the chances are that more people down south have seen you than the people in your own neighborhood.
That's right. But now lately, they've been showing my pictures all over all of them.
Cable TV.
Yeah.
Cable TV.
It's showing all my pictures.
Because cable TV, late at night, cable TV come on, they can get the pictures.
They can get the pictures.
And there are more and more people like me running around trying to get interest.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
In fact, somebody's trying to make a movie now about Oscar Michaud.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, a woman up in Boston. Her name is Debbie Thomas, a black woman I think she's at Harvard or something. She's trying to make a movie. She called me up a few weeks ago.
Tell her she could call me up and pay me, and I'll come there and do the picture for her.
Okay.
And show her just what happened. If she wants that, you tell her that.
Yeah. Well, you know. Not many. I just finished this book on Tucker.
Yeah.
To me, the logical next step is probably to do a book on the show. The problem is that he didn't leave anything behind him.
Yeah.
He seemed to be a very guarded person about his private life.
He had no children.
Yeah, I know. And you know, here's what I found through his niece, you know, the woman I told you in Pasadena. Nobody knew what happened to him after he died. Nobody knew.
Oh, no, where's he buried or nothing like that? Nobody knows where he's buried.
Nobody did until I found out.
The music cremated?
Well, no. What happened is that he, in his final years, he had arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, like, in a wheelchair and crippled up.
Oh.
This is, like, in 49 and 50.
I didn't know that.
And he decided to go back to writing and selling his books.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was a novelist as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on a tour of selling his books in Charlotte, North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
in 1951 when he died.
Yeah.
Now,
his
next...
Now,
yeah, 1951.
I thought he'd been dead. How old was he then?
Well, he was born in 1884, so that makes it... He's about 65 or so.
90-something.
Relatively young. No, he was... No,
oh,
he died in 51.
Oh, when he died.
And he was born in 1884, so he's only about 65 or so.
When he died.
Now, I don't know why, because his wife was still alive then, but his body was never brought back here to New York.
Mm-hmm.
It was shipped to the family in a place called Great Bend, Kansas.
Is that where he was born?
He was born in Metropolis, Illinois.
Oh, is that where he was
born? Yeah, down on the river. Anyway, this niece, his mother, was Michaud's sister,
mm-hmm.
and she was his favorite sister. And so the body was shipped back to her.
Mm.
Well, they were very poor. And all they had was enough money to pay for the body to come back on the train and then to put it in the family plot where it remains today, but without a tombstone.
Oh.
So here's the story of the most important black director.
And no tombstone.
And he doesn't have a tombstone. Not even she says there's a marker on the ground so they know which one it is, but there's nothing to commemorate.
And you say his wife is still living, you say?
Well, Tucker said he thought she was, but that she was in a home and couldn't remember anything.
Oh, well.
Because there's some woman, her sister, Alice B. Russell's sister,
mm-hmm.
is in Cleveland and has this big scrapbook. That Alice B. Russell put together.
Maybe
and that's,
we can get there and
as far as we know, it's the only records. Well, she's being very
closed
with it because she wants to get a lot of money for it.
Oh,
and it's a matter of saying, look, you know.
Who's going to pay the money?
Who's going to pay that, you know?
Yeah.
But it's historically significant. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's where all of that is at. Now, to go back for a second, the question I was going to ask, you know, about these movies being seen and everything, it was about this late 20s, Cotton Club in Harlem and things like that. This whole issue about what is now called the Harlem Renaissance. You remember that period during the 20s the story is that the arts, politics and everything during the 20s was really big and hard. You had Langston Hughes, County Cullen, Marcus Garvey, W.E.B. Du Bois, all of these people. Alethea Walker, the Dark Tower, do you know any of those people? Have you heard of
Madam
any of those?
Walker?
Madam Walker's daughter.
I've heard of all them, but I didn't know them.
Yeah. Well, what I'm trying to get is some sense of, say, 1928, 29, 30, around in there. What was it like in Harlem? I mean, as far as the entertainers were concerned.
Everything was going then. Everything was open. Nightclubs jumping, Upland.
Yeah.
Lafayette opened, everything. Yeah.
So would you say, were these the good times?
Good times. Good times. Oh, lovely.
You could, well...
You had to be dressed up to walk around there. You just couldn't go like
that. Harlem, man, Harlem. You could come out at night. You don't have to worry about all of this.
Wells was going.
And all that stuff. People walking up and down the street 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, going from
it's
joint
like
to
on
joint.
7th Avenue.
Yeah,
when you come
and,
from work, like Flood, he's getting...
Nobody, you didn't see nobody looking like a bum.
No, you had to dress up to go on 7th Avenue.
No bums hanging around nowhere.
No, you weren't afraid. Like you
was
are.
There a sense, that did you have a sense in your mind that these were great days or
oh, yes.
only something you look back on later on?
No, well to you didn't think about that kind of thing.
It wasn't.
All you was thinking about then is your next move and you having a good time now and when you get through with that, you go home, go to bed, you get up, you have another good time, you go home, go to bed. You didn't think about it.
You didn't get mugged and all like that.
20 years later, you didn't figure what was going to happen. No. 20 years later. And you said it
sure.
was a good time.
Sure.
You
yeah.
didn't think about that.
No.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh. Now, when did it all start falling apart?
When all this dope started
no,
coming.
No, falling apart, it started falling apart after World War II.
Okay, but what about, was there any sense of the Depression? What about all of that? I mean...
Depression, the Wall Street crash in 1929? It was rough days and then, but nobody really thought about the crash. All they was doing was trying to know everything was cheap. And, well, a nickel was a nickel in them days.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't think about it. Because most of the people that had money in the banks and stuff like that, they lost their money, and they took it on the chin.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't go around worrying too much about their loss. They just tried to make it from there, and were still happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people were making, say, the average person then was making $12 a week. When you made $18 a week, in the money.
You could live
in
good.
In them days, yeah. In them days, you could go, the bars was open, everything was open, you going to
25, 50 cents a
you
drink?
You could get a shot of granddad for 15 cents. You could go there and get a granddad for 15 cents. And you could take a dollar, and you and your friend go in there and almost get drunk off a dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the bar. And they were selling, you go out in the street, if you was hungry, the hot dog man come along with the wagon, you could get a root beer and a hot dog for a nickel.
He used to stay in the back of the Apollo, pop member
yeah,
with the Frank Putters in it.
10 cents for a hot dog, that was high. You tell the man, I don't get no beer with this. 10 cents for a hot dog. That's right, that's what it was. And he had to either get chili on it or onion.
Yeah.
For the same money, guys.
Things was cheap. Everybody knew
yeah.
that. Cigarette, pack of cigarettes, they had to double. What is it? Cigarette. 10 cigarettes. Then they had the 20-pack. Then they had the 10-pack. The 10-pack, I think you got that for a dime.
No,
and the 20-pack cigarette was 20 cents from 20 to from 20 to 25 cents,
mm-hmm.
right in that neighborhood somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
So in summary then, what we can say is that you wasn't a sense, you didn't walk around those days having a sense that you were living through an important period or interesting period or anything like that,
no.
as much as
no.
just to know that you were having fun and,
yeah.
and,
you
what,
could
was
live.
Next and
what was next? What's your next move?
Yeah, what's your next
move?
Did you people know the Tree of Hope?
Oh, yeah. Right there on my corner, on the 32nd.
That's right, it was. That's
yeah,
right.
that's right.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well,
I mean, what it looked like and.
Well, they moved it since we were there because they moved
oh, they
it.
Cut it down.
They cut it down and made a little plaque right on the island.
Yeah,
it's
I
there
see
right
that.
Now.
I see
Did
that.
You see
Don't it? Put it there.
Yeah. Well, you're supposed to hit that, you know, and you wish for a job.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hit the Tree of Hope, then you know you're going to be lucky in show business. They come in and.
Now, that was there when you were there, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever do that, or?
Well, I didn't have to do that.
No. Okay.
No.
So, how many
I never worked
day?
In the Lafayette, in other words.
Ah,
I never
okay.
worked in there.
How many, on a given day, how many guys, were all guys, or were there women, too?
Well, men and women.
How many would gather around there?
Well,
hang
no.
out.
It
was a hangout?
No, it wasn't a must to do that.
Yeah.
It was a place where
just
most all of farmers
yeah.
would meet and hang around there.
Yeah.
Well,
just a fad, like, you know.
This day there. Yeah. They, some of them would be leaning on the tree. They'd telling Joe, Bill Robs and all of them be all around them. Benny Carter, all the guys.
Yeah.
Would be, Don Redman, all of them around there. They'd just come by there, they'd come by there. And the gin mill was right on the corner, too. And they'd come out the gin mill and get under the tree.
That's the bar, the gin mill.
And jive, you know. BS all over the place over there, just for that.
Just
know.
For that.
Now, somebody told me a story that agents would come and maybe sign up people there as well.
Well, that's why they know they could find a lot of the
yeah.
musicians and a lot of the performers and everything there. And
then the rhythm
there,
club, too.
And they came there for information.
That's
find out who was doing what shows, where they
yeah.
Most,
yeah.
most of that, what they
word of mouth, you know,
talk. When they go in there, some of the big promoters and agents and stuff come in there, and the bar was right there on the corner. They get them in the bar and get them full of whiskey, and they talk everything you want. That's what they want.
Well, that's where all the performers hung out anyway, around there
mm-hmm.
in that neighborhood.
They hang out right in there.
And they had a rhythm club, they called it that time.
Around the corner.
Where all the musicians
two clubs, one on this corner, one on 32nd Street, one on 33rd Street.
That was a busy neighborhood.
They go in there and talk, they play pool. Hoover's Club was right downstairs.
Connie's in.
Underneath the Lafayette Theater there, right underneath there. And Connie's in was right there on 31st Street.
Chab's Restaurant.
All of them.
Wells
right
Restaurant, all those places.
Everything was right there, and that's where everybody congregated. Mm-hmm.
I often thought it would be maybe make a nice musical.
To make that.
To call it the Tree of Hope.
Tree of Hope.
You know, and to use that as like a central symbol. Mm-hmm.
Do you look at the Apollo show on Saturday night, amateur night at the Apollo? Do you see that?
Sometimes, yeah.
On Channel 4?
Sometimes they show it. No. Well, what they do is they get it later or whatever down in Philadelphia.
No.
Now and then. It's not.
Oh, you live in Philadelphia?
Well, I live outside of Philadelphia.
Yeah. But they have about Tree of Hope. They got a little stuff there they call it Tree of Hope. When the amateurs come out, they touch that.
Yeah.
And go out to sing. They got
well, apparently that's part of the original tree.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
part of it.
Supposed to be part of the tree. In Puerto Rico, like Sandman comes out. See Sandman come out and to get the hook to take him off.
Yeah, I've seen
He's
that.
Doing Puerto Rico's part there.
Yeah.
But it's nothing like it used to be, the pop. Nothing. That's a lousy show.
Uh-huh.
Don't you think so, Flood?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
When I was out with Tucker, I was with him for the last 2 days of his life.
Yeah.
He had lost 70, 80 pounds.
Oh.
He was in good bad shape, in pain too.
Was he married?
Yeah.
He was?
His fourth wife.
Oh, yeah.
A Filipino woman.
Oh.
And,
I know that.
Yeah. Here's
there's Tucker there.
That's when him when I first met him in 1985, and that's his wife.
Oh,
yeah.
Let me see. I didn't know you married Filipino.
Yeah, and then anyway, so on the last day he here, I'll show it to him. I should show you this other picture as well.
Yeah,
because
nice.
This other picture is his last picture. This is about 3 weeks before he got sick.
Oh yeah.
At the Directors Guild.
Oh
See, the Directors Guild did a honorary thing for Michaud.
Well, he was living good in California. Did he live?
Tucker.
Decent. No, he wasn't.
Well,
his home, his house.
Apartment,
yeah. Oh, just apartment.
Just a little apartment. Yeah.
Oh.
Didn't have much money at all. In fact, when he died, he had no money. We had to call up the Negro Actors Guild back here. Fred O'Neill and Dick Campbell, and they got money together just so he could be buried.
He was ahead. O'Neill was ahead of the Actors Guild of Equity at that time. Sad, but he was a photographer.
Anyway, he was as he was dying there, he was in lots of pain, and would go in and out of reality. You know?
Oh, yeah, he was
so
nice.
So he rolled over and he looked at me and he said to me, he said, "Did you go up to the Tree of Hope today?" Mm-hmm. So immediately I knew he was back in 1928.
Yeah, but it's...
He says, we got to get some jobs. We got jobs. He said that used to be back. He says that used to be our employment office.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he went to California because he was living here in New York.
He didn't go to California until 1977.
Yeah, he was living
10 years ago. Yeah. He decided to try to make it, and he was working as a night security guard.
But I know he was a photographer too.
Yeah, took a lot of photos.
Yes, he did.
Let's see. He came back in March of '86 for a while, and at the Negro Actors Guild, because I think that they revived that now. It's called the Upper American.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know this guy, Donald Haywood?
Did I know the Caribbean cruise?
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
He'd have us rehearsing it. His shows was like a big snowball. Every time you went there, you had somebody new in the cast. You never had the same. How about the flood? Never had the same. It just rolled like a big snowball. The further you rehearsed, the more people he got. Never got off the ground. He brought us over here. I was living in Harlem, don't they say we there? Over here to, where was we? Patterson Flood. What was that theater we worked? You was there.
No, I wasn't.
You come and got me because we got stranded in Patterson.
I got you because y'all couldn't get back home.
We couldn't. So he had this Caribbean cruise, and he put the show on over there. We never did get paid. Now, coming from Patterson to New York, that, you know where Patterson is, right up the hill here almost.
Stranded.
And we could have fun had to come over there and get me. Donald Haywood.
That's all I know, but he was
producer, wasn't he?
Well, he put on these things and he just was a guy that went on his heart. He gets you that confidence and then get you to do what he wants you to do, put these shows on.
Yeah.
But he didn't have no money to back him up.
Oh, he had no money.
He had nothing to back it up with. And he was trying for luck. If one of them hit, he's in the money, you know. But if you don't hit, but none of his never hit.
But he had good ideas, though. But
he wrote some couple of good songs.
Good things, yeah, songs. And then the Caribbean Cruise, that was the name of his show.
Yeah, the show, yeah.
Yeah.
He did a thing called Old Man Satan.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
This
this is going on the same time.
Yeah.
Green Pasture.
Yeah, I remember you did that too.
And it had people in it like, let me just throw some names out. Maybe you remember something. A.B. Comathier. Comathier?
Yeah. He was a West Indian too.
Yeah.
De Comathier. That's what they call
it. Lionel Monagas.
Oh, they were all Lafayette players, those people.
Yeah. Percy Verwaine.
Percy.
Jack Carter.
Yeah, well, they was all in the Lafayette Stock Company.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what they were.
Now, the Lafayette Stock Company left town, though, right, in the late 20s, right? Went to L.A.
I don't know. I wasn't in that. Yeah. That's the WPA thing.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't in that.
Uh-huh.
Anything in the 20s, I wasn't in there.
Donald Haywood also did a film called Black King.
Oh, he did?
Do you remember this one? In fact, that picture in the front is Tucker from that movie.
No, I don't remember.
Black King?
Yeah, the Black King. 1932.
Well, I was up with my Green Pass today.
Yeah.
I didn't know. But I know all about the Lafayette Stock Company.
There's a woman.
Mother Pete was in that, wasn't she?
Yeah. Alina's mother was in it, too. Yeah. Lena Horne's mother? Yeah. Yeah, she was in there.
In Lafayette?
Lafayette Stock Company.
Yeah. There's a woman.
Her name was Edna.
There's a woman at Fordham University. She's a nun.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Sister Francesca Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
You know who her mother was? Mm-hmm. Evelyn Prier. Do you know Evelyn Prier?
Yeah, she was in the stock company.
She was one of the big ones there.
Yeah, she's
there. She acted for Michaud, too.
Oh.
And
she did, Evelyn Prier.
She wrote, this woman, this nun, wrote her dissertation for her PhD
mm-hmm.
on the Lafayette Stock Company and did all that research.
That was nice.
Spent hours down in the library at the Schomburg looking at all these old newspapers. Let's see. I only got a few more questions to ask, and we'll go on for a little bit.
You're okay. Because my dogs are hungry.
Okay.
They'll be down here in a few minutes. I want to hear this playback this year.
Let's see
if you can get it, babe.
I got a portable Sony up there, so it'll do what I
okay. I just want to go back for a second to this thing about the stars being, at least by Michaud, preference for light skin. Now, Alice B. Russell was a light skin woman too, right?
Oh, she was?
Yeah. Wasn't she? I mean,
well, that's his
wife.
His wife.
Yeah,
yeah, she was here. Not my color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now, Tucker said that there were times when, like, he would play bad guys, Tucker would, in the show. So that it wasn't necessarily that he favored light-skinned blacks in the major roles. It's that...
He wanted good-looking people.
Good-looking people.
Like Carmen Newsom.
Yeah.
He was a fine-looking person. And so was, like you say, Black Valentino was it.
Yeah.
Tucker. He had, and then there was another fellow that he used to. I forgot his name. Those people. Well, anyway, they was all nice-looking.
Carl Mahan? Does that ring a bell, that name? Carl Mahan? Maybe?
Yeah, well, they were, yes. They were all nice-looking leading men he wanted.
Uh-huh.
Nice-looking. And then he had Ethel Moses, you heard of
Yeah.
Yeah, he had her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was with us in those pictures when I was a star and Ethel Moses was a star.
How about Vivian Baber? Do you remember
Vivian
her?
Baber, yes.
Whatever happened to her?
I think she passed. I think she died. Yeah. She was a nice-looking girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vivian Baber.
How about this woman, Dorothy Van Engel? Do you remember her?
No, Dorothy Van Engel.
Here's Vivian Baber right here.
Yeah, that's Vivian Baber. Yeah, okay. That's Ernie Hyatt. Yeah. That is Ernie Hyatt.
Yeah. And here...
Jesus, you're bringing in memories.
Good. I want you to, you know, if there's anything, you know, after I leave, anything more you remember or want to talk about, please either call me or just write me a note or something.
You got enough out of me, didn't you?
I got a lot, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's Ethel. That was Ethel Moses. Yeah, she was a good girl. She was one of the chorus girls. I see his Vivian, the Brown twins here.
Oh, you know these people?
Yeah, this one here, she's one of them got killed, but this girl here, she's the manager of the Baby Grand on 125th Street right now.
This woman here?
Vivian Brown.
Now, are these people
chorus girls?
Are these from the Cotton Club, or were these?
No, they weren't Cotton Club. They was too young. No, they wasn't Cotton. They were some of the Apollo girls, and some of we used to make little panoramas. Did you ever hear those little panoramas?
No.
They had, in the bars, they used to have little pictures that they'd show, and they called them panoramas. And we made these little pictures, and they would show them in the bars.
Or like on jukeboxes?
Yeah.
What they call soundies?
That's what we called a panorama. Well, these kids was all there. I remember all of these girls mostly. Yeah, there's the twins. There's twins here. One of them got killed. But she, this one here, is manager. Marion, this one, I know them all there. Temptation. They was in the cast of Temptation. Yeah, I remember them, sure.
Here's Ethel Moses and Tucker.
Ethel Moses and Tucker, yeah. Ethel was a good-looking girl. She was brown-skinned, though. She wasn't light. She was brown-skinned. She was a good-looking girl.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I like that book.
Yeah. Lots of nice pictures.
Yeah.
How about Andrew S. Bishop? Did you know him?
Yeah, Andrew Bishop, yeah, I knew him.
Now, he was a Lafayette person.
That's not him.
No, that's
not him. Neither one of them. His father was a pastor of my church.
Andrew Bishop.
St. Philip, the church where I go to now. His father, that was his father's church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can make these out. Percy Verwey.
That's Percy Verwey.
Lorenzo, Jack Carter.
And Jack, I know all of them.
Yeah?
Yeah, I didn't see Jack Carter.
Let me see, can I get this thing to work?
Don't let trouble them down here,
no,
because they'll be barking.
He's upstairs.
Yeah, you might know some of those people there. I just check my list.
Marty Holly, Dick Campbell, Lorenzo Tucker, Willie Bryan, Rex Ingram, Canada Lee.
Yeah, he just died recently.
Canada Lee?
Yeah.
Canada Daddy? Daddy? No, yeah. I thought he'd been there.
Maybe so. Somebody was telling me.
Oh, this is Hernandez back here. Look like him. Is that Hernandez, Juan Hernandez? And the back of
Jimmy,
that.
Jimmy. Somebody.
That's Monty Holly.
Yeah, that's Monty Holly.
And
Tucker.
Tucker.
Do you know her?
I don't know.
What the heck is her name? I think there's.